Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
This morning is the power of encouragement. So if you've got your notebooks out, you can write that down. And before we start, I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence. You are in this room. I thank you that you are already touching hearts today. And I thank you for every person who is here. I ask that you would open spiritual eyes and ears and soften hearts. I ask that you would bring revelation and freedom today. I pray that I would be attentive to your Holy Spirit this morning and where you are leading and what you are saying, and use me today to encourage in Jesus' name. Amen. Encouraging others. It's one of the most tangible ways that we can be Jesus to those around us. Encouragement can change the course of someone's life. It can unlock their God-given destiny. In a world that so quickly discourages and criticizes, cuts down, and makes jokes at the expense of, God wants us to be people who do not conform to the patterns of this world, but show love and kindness to the people and to speak encouragement and words of life. I want to tell you about two amazing encouragers in the Bible. The first one is Barnabas. Barnabas was known for the way that he encouraged others. His name actually means son of encouragement. You can read about him in Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 28. Saul in the book of Acts was a very bad person. He killed a lot of Christians until he had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And his life made a complete 180 degree turn. Paul became one of the greatest missionaries ever, and he wrote a large part of the New Testament teaching Christians how to live. After Paul became a follower of Christ, he started preaching and wanting to tell everyone what Jesus had done in his life. But nobody trusted him. Nobody liked him, and they plotted to kill him. So he fled Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples, but they too were afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was a changed man. But Paul had a friend. He had a friend called Barnabas. And Barnabas could see the changes in Paul's life. He could see the giftings that God had placed there. And he spoke up for him. And praise God he did, because his words of life unlocked the destiny in Paul's life and made a way for him. Another friend in the Bible is Jonathan. He was a powerful encourager, and you can read about him in 1 and 2 Samuel. He was King Solomon's son, and so he was supposed to be the next king. He was also David's best friend, and Jonathan could have allowed jealousy, hatred to rule his heart. His focus was not on position, not on power. It was on his devotion to God and his friendship to David. He was loyal and he served David selflessly and sacrificially. He protected his friend. And he spoke words of life and encouragement over his friend to the point where he told David, "You will be the next king. And I will be sitting right next to you." Can you imagine? You're the next in line to become king, but your best friend is God's chosen, and you encourage him in that as the rightful king. Wow. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18, 21. Every word we speak is a seed that is planted and in time we'll taste the fruit that comes from it. When we speak words of death, such as negativity, criticism, lies, or gossip, we're sowing seeds that produce bad fruit, hurt, division, brokenness, shame, rejection. When we speak words of life, words of faith, encouragement, truth, hope, we produce good fruit that we can enjoy: blessing, provision, favor, peace, joy, and salvation. And this fruit can be enjoyed in the lives around us too. What fruit are you planting, producing, and reaping right now? Adam in the Bible was given the privilege of naming all the animals. Adam was given the power to give identity through language. He was building the world around him through words. Every name he spoke wasn't just a label stuck on a pre-existing creature. It was a creative act that defined reality, shaped relationships, and constructed meaning. This is so interesting to me. Modern linguists confirm this Edenic insight through what they call the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis. The language we speak doesn't just describe reality, it constructs it. Isn't that amazing? When Adam calls a creature a lion, he's not just identifying an animal, he's creating a category of experience, a power relationship, a universe of emotional possibility. I'm going to share with you this morning just a little bit about my childhood. I grew up here in Melbourne with my family, and we went to church every Sunday. My grandma and my nana were women of strong faith, and I had a great grandfather who was a minister. I remember waking every morning to see Mum reading her Bible and spending time with God. My sisters and I loved having mini church services. Mum would play her guitar and we would sing together. Who here remembers Salty? Yes. Yeah, Salty. That was our favourite. I asked Jesus to come into my heart when I was 5. I was at Sunday school. And I was so eager. I remember sitting right up the front as close to my teacher as I could get as we prayed the sinner's prayer together. As a child, I loved playing with my babies, with my dolls. It's pretty cool that now I'm the kids' pastor. I think I love pretending to be Mum. I also loved playing outside, exploring, having adventures, and I loved sport. I was very good at sport. During primary school, I remember spending lunch times having running races with the boys and beating them, I might say. I was especially good at swimming and running, and I did represent Victoria in those sports. So as a child, though, my problem was that I often said or did things without thinking about whether that was a good idea. And so as you can imagine, that didn't always go down very well with people. And so a lot of negative words were spoken over my life to me. You're naughty. You're so wicked. You're so annoying. You're a troublemaker. You never think. You never listen. Nobody likes you. You're too bossy. And so I began to believe and become what people had said that I was, because I didn't know who God had created me to be. I didn't know my identity. I didn't know the word of God. And so these words of death that were spoken over and over to me were imprinted on my soul. And they started a wildfire of destruction in my life. I'll jump ahead past all the details of those years to say that it was the power of encouragement that saved me. God used some beautiful, loving people. Some beautiful, amazing people. I think some are here today. At a little church up the road in North Bowen. And they loved me. They saw beyond my imperfections. And they saw the God-given gifts in me. And they called them out. They believed in me. They loved me. And they were used powerfully by God to save my life, to help turn me back onto the right path, on God's path. And I'm here today doing what I'm doing as a result. Today I'm going to share with you some powerful truths about encouragement. Number one, God commands us to be encouragers, to speak words of life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." God doesn't force himself on us. He gives us the freedom to choose how we will live and how we will speak. But he warns us that there are consequences to this choice that affect the generations to come. Are we going to create a legacy of blessing, faith and peace, or a legacy of curses and suffering, fear? God commands us as Christians to encourage one another in creative ways. Hebrews chapter 10 in the Passion, verses 23 and 25 says, "Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love." Just do it. Just do it. If God has commanded us to be encouragers, then he will equip us. He will empower us. He will prompt us. Ask the Holy Spirit every day to lead you and speak to you about how you can encourage those around you. Be creative, as it says in Hebrews. There are so many ways that we can encourage those around us. If we have something positive, life-giving and encouraging in our mind about someone, then just go to that person. Tell them. And if you aren't comfortable saying it, write them a note. Write them a message. I spent every summer with my family camping down at Tidal River. My family and I attended the beach mission down there every summer. Every January, it was the highlight of my childhood, I think, honestly. It's still my happy place to this day, Tidal River. But one year, my sisters and I, after years and years of begging my parents to go on the team as a family, finally we did. So we were a part of the team. And in the main marquee where the team had all our meals together, there was this really large, huge hanging wall hessian kind of thing with pockets all on it with everybody's names on the pocket, each pocket. And so as we were led, anyone could write warm fuzzies, as they were called, and put them into the pocket of the person that they felt to encourage. As a child, I mean, you can imagine, I love being a part of this. You know, every day I would love putting the messages into other people's pockets, but also checking my own. It brought me so much joy. Here is a challenge for you today. Who can you write a warm fuzzy to? In your school, workplace, in your family, or in your life group? Why do we need to encourage, you might ask? Why should we? What happens when we encourage? What are the outcomes? Encouragement cheers people up. In the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "Worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up." Two, encouragement that is sincere, spoken in love, can drive out fear. 1 John 4:18, "But perfect love drives out fear." How awesome. As parents, when you're putting your kids to bed, they might be scared. You speak a word of encouragement, speak a scripture, pray that. Perfect love drives out fear. Encouragement brings comfort, strength, and healing. Proverbs 12, verse 18. "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." I recently made a jar of Bible verses. I've got one here to show you. That we gave to a friend who went interstate. And this is an example of a creative way that you can bring encouragement. The jar is filled with Bible verses printed onto different coloured paper, and each colour represents a feeling that you might have. And the Bible verses are meant to be an encouragement. For example, you read a pink verse when you're feeling happy, read a purple verse when you're feeling thankful, a red verse when you're feeling angry, read a blue verse when you're feeling anxious or fearful. And we prayed over this jar and we prayed that it would bring encouragement to this friend and that it would provide comfort and strength when they were away from home and that it would fill their heart with Jesus' love. 4, encouragement feeds the soul of the one you are encouraging with God's presence and his love. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, when you are speaking healing words, you offer others fruit from the tree of life. The tree of life. That's the tree that God placed in the center of the Garden of Eden. So your words of encouragement, our words of encouragement give others a taste of the fruit from this tree, representing God's life-giving nature, his perfect love, his presence, his healing, his restoration. Parents, you could write small notes of encouragement to your children, including popping them in their lunchbox, including Bible verses. I've got an example here. You can buy these from Koorong. They're like little tear-off lunch notes. There's joke ones and there's ones for girls and there's ones for boys. This is another creative way to be encouraging. One of my children still has pinned all over their board in their bedroom a large number of encouraging notes that I have written to them over the years in their lunchbox and just popped in their room. I'm sure that they're still read from time to time, especially after a tough day at school. And I pray that these words of life are imprinted on this child's heart. These Bible verses are imprinted on their heart. When you encourage others, it refreshes you. Proverbs 11 verse 25 says, the generous will prosper and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Encouragement can unlock the destiny in someone's life like it did for me, like it did for Paul and King David. Encouragement will draw out the gold that God put in someone and see a person activated in using their God-given gifts and talents. We know words have the power of death and life. God created with his words. Jesus healed with his words. And we can use our words to unlock the destiny in those around us. Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Encouragement and speaking words of life can release the promises of God into reality. Isaiah 55:11, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Encouragement will soften the hearts of those around us and draw the unsaved to Jesus in a world that is so quick to cut people down. So quick to criticise, jokes, discouragement, laughing at someone's weakness or struggle or difference. When we are encouraging, when we are loving and speak words of life and positivity, people will notice that. They will wonder, why, how, what's different? How can they be like that? And their hearts will soften and open to hearing about Jesus. Romans 12 verse 1 says that we should not conform to the patterns of this world. And what we say and how we act should be different to that of the world. It should be. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. But what if we're going through a tough time? What if we're going through a season that's hard? How can we speak words of life and encouragement over those around us when we're struggling ourselves. Believe me, I know. I know these feelings. I know these days and these seasons. What I do is remember the Word of God. And I remember that God is the ultimate encourager. He is. It's Him. And He is all we need. So I spend time with my Father God and His promises. And He promises to give me strength when I'm weak. I read the Bible, I highlight it, and I write verses down until I find a scripture that brings strength and comfort. And I pray that over and over. And I declare that. I worship. I journal. I remember all that God has done in my life already. And I thank Him for that. I read over prophetic words that have been spoken over my life and their encouragement. And I wait on God. He never fails. He never fails. He always lifts me and strengthens me and helps me. And when I am strengthened, I can encourage others. Isaiah 40 verse 28 and 29 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak." Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What if people in my life are speaking words of death and negativity over me? What do we do? We ask God to place a hedge of protection around us from the words and the fruit of those words. We rebuke the words. We rebuke what, and we replace the words with what God says about you. You're not bossy, you're a leader. For example, we speak scripture and identity, the identity that Christ has given you over our lives, and we forgive the person that's saying those things. We can't hold on to unforgiveness. When I made that 180 degree turn in my life, I had to make some big changes with regards to friendships. Some I had to step away from. You too may need to change your friendship circle. You need to spend time with people who speak words of encouragement and life over you. As I conclude, here are a few final points. To encourage others, we need to be selfless. We need to be humble. Like Jonathan, we need to be thinking of others and their needs before ourselves. Could the person you're sitting next to today need a word of encouragement? Philippians 2 verse 3 to 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." To speak words of life and to encourage someone requires self-control. What do I mean by self-control? This is a big one. Self-control to not speak those words of death in the heat of the moment, when situations are intense, emotions are high. We all know that sometimes it's too easy to let those negative words slip out. But James encourages us in James chapter 1, verse 19, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And Paul also reminds us in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, that God gave us His Spirit, and the Spirit helps us control ourselves. So can I encourage you today? Let's be people that show Jesus in how we speak. Let's be people who speak words of life to those around us. May God open our spiritual eyes to see beyond what the world sees in a person, to see the gold that He has placed there, to the unique and amazing things that God has placed inside of each person and that we would speak it out. I believe that we will see lives transform all around us. We will see lives saved, people healed, people using the gifts God gave them. Imagine our homes, our schools, our workplaces, where we encourage instead of cut each other down, where we speak love instead of hate, where we collaborate instead of compete. As followers of Jesus, can I encourage you for 2026 to be voices of encouragement in a world that so desperately needs this hope that we have?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.